Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
It's the one-year anniversary of the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. A gunman there killed 17 people, including students and staff, in the deadliest high school shooting in American history. In a time when mass shootings happen with alarming frequency and then typically fade from headlines, Parkland's staying power stands out. The March for Our Lives campaign and the hashtag Never Again movement have become political forces, led primarily by students fighting to tighten gun laws. Among the student organizers is Amalia Hockman, a junior at Somerville High School. When we talked about her activism, I started by asking her how she feels a year after the Parkland shooting.
It's definitely hitting me hard. I've been thinking a lot with my friends, and we're like, wow, like, it's been a whole year. It hasn't felt like it's been that long. It felt like it just happened, like, last week.
You know, in the past year, 26 states and the District of Columbia have passed some type of gun control measure. Massachusetts was one of those states. Here we passed a red flag bill that makes it possible for legal gun owners to temporarily lose their gun rights if a family member or friend reports them as dangerous. I know that you supported that law.
Yeah.
And I'm curious whether you take that as a sign of real meaningful change in the past year, or is it just sort of a drop in the bucket? What's your assessment?
I think that any time that a group of people can organize to get real work done, like passing a bill like this ERPO bill, I think is incredible, and I think it's a huge step forward no matter what. But I don't think that people can just stop there and like, oh, we got a bill passed, or all these states passed things, like, we got to keep going.
ERPO for Extreme Risk Protection Order.
Exactly.
Right? You know, we spoke with you twice on Radio Boston last year, once right after you helped organize a walkout at your school, and again later to hear how you were processing a school shooting in Texas over the summer. And at that time, we asked whether you were surprised that there had been another school shooting so soon after Parkland, and you said no, and that you didn't ever really feel completely safe from gun violence. So how are you feeling today? Do you feel safe when you go to school?
I think that the question of feeling safe is a really tricky one to answer. I think compared to other schools, yeah, I think my school is not in an extreme high risk. But on the other hand, they almost seem random. And I know that people, including myself, will talk day to day about like, oh, that's the closet you go in, or oh, that's the window that we would have to jump out of. And it's something that is scary that we do have to talk about. So it's not like every day I step in the building and I'm like, I could die today. But there's that little thought in the back of my head that, yeah, it's possible.
Those are just the things that come up as you're passing in the hallway.
Right.
Is it formalized in any way, or is it just sort of student-to-student conversations? Like, are you running active shooter drills at Somerville High, or is it sort of among you, just you students informally talking about what your plan would be?
We've had one lockdown drill this year, and those are quite scary. We'll have people coming in and trying to get into the classrooms and banging on doors. So definitely people will talk about it more then, but mainly informally, people will just randomly bring it up if something scares them.
What's your view of those kinds of preparations? Because I think that they're quite polarizing. You know, some folks think that this is just the world that we live in, and our students need to be prepared. We should be perhaps even teaching them first aid and CPR in these events. And then others say, you know what, we're just scaring kids. As much as these school shootings are awful, they do happen very rarely in the grand scheme of things. We're just feeding into a culture of fear. Now, how do you feel about it?
I think that because it is a reality that there are school shootings, I think that it is important that kids know what to do in case that happens. But on the other hand, I really do feel like we need to be putting more effort into trying to stop it than how much we put into trying to lessen how bad it could be if it happens.
I want to play some sound from gun control activist David Hogg. He survived the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High. He's since graduated, and he spoke with NPR yesterday about the future.
I don't think older generations realize what an impact the shooting here has had on our generation. I don't think people realize how big the school walkouts were and how many student leaders came out of that. I don't think congressmen are realizing what they have coming.
Amalia, do you agree with David? I mean, have school shootings galvanized a whole generation of activists and voters?
I completely agree with him. I think that the whole March for Our Lives movement has completely empowered my generation to show us that we can fight for what we believe in and that we can win if we fight hard enough.
You know, I saw the look of immediate recognition when I mentioned David Hogg's name on your face. And in our first conversation with you last year, on the day of that student walkout last March, you talked about what really motivated you to get involved in this cause. And you said that you were inspired by those Parkland students. Let's just take a listen to that previous interview.
We're finally stepping out and saying, this has to stop. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to sit by while 7 kids a day in the U.S. are killed by guns. And I'm not going to sit by and let especially communities of color be targeted by gun violence. And I want to stand up and I want to stand in solidarity. And I want to make sure that this country and these schools and our streets are safer for the generations to come.
So, Amalia, we're almost a year beyond those remarks from you. Do you still feel that same sense of energy and urgency?
Yeah, I feel like the national feel of we got to fight for gun control has definitely gone down. But I think that there were incredible strides made. And I definitely still feel like it's still extremely important to keep fighting for this because there are still guns in schools. There are still guns on the streets. And we need to be fighting for this until it ends because we can't just wait for the next shooting to happen to be like, oh, yeah, we need gun control. Like, we need it now. We need it then. We needed it before. And so we need to keep fighting until it happens.
What have you found to be an effective organizing tool for students your age? I mean, are you planning more walkouts? We've seen very dramatic die-ins in the past. Is that the kind of path that you found to be effective, or is it something else?
I think the easiest way to organize my generation, at least, is what I found in my school is through social media, is really getting it on people's minds all the time. If they keep seeing it in their feed, they're like, oh, yeah, this is an issue that's important to my friends. This is an issue that's important to my community. And so it's kind of always there so that when there is a walkout or when there is a protest or when there is a rally, it's already on people's minds like, yeah, I need to go to that.
Is it a particular tool on social media? Because I noticed that you haven't been tweeting lately, and I wondered if maybe you found that it wasn't a productive platform for you, or are you using something else instead?
No, to be honest, I'm just not that good at Twitter. When I've been organizing the most on social media, I've actually used Snapchat.
Really?
Yeah, I've found that it hits the most people in my community, and it was the most effective because people, like, if we were organizing a protest, people were able to just screenshot it and post it to their story, and it would just reach so many people.
Do you foresee gun control as a lifelong cause for you, Amalia? Or is it maybe just sort of a broader awakening to civic engagement because of what happened in Parkland?
I definitely think it's something that I'd love to be working on. Hopefully not for the rest of my life, because I'm hoping that we'll get the kind of gun control needed before then. But if it takes for the rest of my life, I'll definitely be in it.
What would that success look like in your eyes?
To be honest, if it were up to me, I think I'd take away the Second Amendment. And I know that's really extreme for a lot of people, but I do not see a reason why people would need guns.
That's Amalia Hochman, a junior at Somerville High School and a Students Against Gun Violence co-organizer. Amalia, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And you can hear the conversations we had with Amalia last year on our website, radioboston.org. Stay with us. Coming up, we'll explore the use of racial slurs in an academic setting. I'm Callum Borchers. This is Radio Boston.